We cannot get over this first statement. If our heart does not move, then everything we do is useless. It's only richer. So that's it. God speak, move my heart. And my heart move. This is vital. How do you keep a prayer going? Your heart has to move. No place, nowhere can sustain continuous, prolonged prayer if our heart does not move. Music will not, because today good music, tomorrow can be bad. Today new song, tomorrow bad song. Yeah, it's natural. We get over that novelty. But our heart has to move. God, speak, move my heart. I'm thankful today. Wow, my heart move. No, just don't smile. It's not nice. We are praying for. Okay. We speak as my heart move. I speak. Move God's heart. I say, how do you know God move? Because I know He moved my heart. And then He moved my heart. I pray in accordance to what He desires. I'm sure His heart is moved. I may not feel a thing. I know His heart is moved. When His heart moves, He's going to respond. He's going to move His hand. And I know that little short half an hour, because we pray about half an hour, about that half an hour, that little weak prayer is going to create an impact in needs. We may not know for sure because we move His heart. He's going to move His hand. Something is going to happen. It is vital. It is so, so vital. Got it? If today all you get back is this, house of prayer is our eternal identity. How does it operate? God speak, move my heart. I speak, move God's heart. And God's heart move, His hand move. He releases whatever. That is the key. It's about divine partnership. Divine partnership. Because prayer and intercession is an expression of God's desire for intimate partnership. Not just intercessions, but intimacy-based intercession. I say earlier, I love you, Jesus. Send revival. I love you, Jesus. Because our highest goal has to be more than I love revival. No, I love revival. I mean, I'm crazy over revival. Since early 20s, I'm crazy over revival. In the 90s, I went all over nations to find the experience revival. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's good. It's a good kind of crazy. Okay. But we have to want God more than revival. If not, we will stop praying. God, speak. Move my heart. No, I just want to drive that in because if your heart don't move, no, I have no one in mind. Don't worry. Time to do something. Because it's far more important. God speaks, move my heart. As my heart move, I speak, move His heart. And His heart move, He's going to wave His hand. And something happened. Vital. So, so vital. Okay, it's vital. Okay, so I'm going to sum up, then I'm going to go further. I'm going to define two central. I got so much, so I just keep skipping. Okay, so the highest expressions of God's desire for intimate partnership, house of prayer. No, I love it. I call it the mystery of great restraint. God will not do our part. We cannot do His part. If we do not, He will not. If He will not, we cannot. Wow. What a mystery, isn't it? If you don't pray, nothing happens. Wow. Of course, God will nudge us. What a great mystery. Okay. Okay. Give you a few incorrect view about house of prayer or incorrect perception. Because I'll run through some truth about the centrality of prayer. Incorrect view about the house of prayer. There are about three. First one is, you know, this is vital for us to get it right. Okay. The first incorrect view or misconception. Okay. Because some mistaken the house of prayer is a ministry focus. So I have good news. Yeah, no, I'm going to leave one thing ministry so that I don't have to pray, I don't have to fast. Well, bad news for you. Everywhere you go, you got to pray and fast. Because house of prayer is more than a ministry focus. House of prayer is more than the ministry that has a heightened prayer focus like ourselves or IHOP Kansas City. No, that's why I always say, we are not a prayer ministry. We are mission-based with prayer at the center of it. Not just prayer, intimacy-based prayer. And I always describe, people say, so who are you? Are you a church? Are you a mission-based? Are you a prayer? Are you a teaching ministry or so on? I always say this, when people look from outside at us, we are a house of prayer. When we look at ourselves, we are a mission-based. When God look at us, we are a church. We are part of the church. So house of prayer is not some ministry focus or a ministry that has a heightened prayer focus. True, true. It's true to a certain extent, but it is not what Isaiah 56 verse 7 is all about. Every church, every ministry is the house of prayer. Whether you are in marketplace ministry, you are into justice movement, you feed the poor, or in Geylang, whatever. That's why I love one of the guys who said that, yeah, we know we need to pray, and so on. Feeding the poor, loving Israel. No ministry, hear me correctly, no ministry can not pray. Every ministry has to pray. And God raised up house of prayer ministry like us is not so as to pray on behalf of the church. No, we are catalysts to, inverted comma, provoke, to inspire. Hopefully we inspire. You see, you're also not praying one. Yeah. As a catalyst to inspire. So house of prayer is not a ministry focus, not a ministry that somehow has this heightened focus on prayer. So your prayer. Okay, that's why when I came back 14 years ago, I told people that I'm going to do 24/7 prayer. Many people say, Kichong, then you must gather every intercessor. I say, no. I'm gathering every redeemer of God. I say, huh? But you're doing prayer. I say, no. Everybody is a house of prayer. Every ministry is a house of prayer. I will not relent until this become a core of every ministry. Then I retire. No, it's true. The moment the church step into a full identity as house of prayer, we become irrelevant. We'll be out of the job. So we are praying ourselves to be out of the job. Amen. Well, then I can relax. And yeah, but we still pray. Okay. So I said last week, prayer may not be the totality of every church, but prayer is the core. Know what's the difference? Totality, that means you don't only do prayer. For some, maybe, but prayer is the core. No ministry can not pray. Every ministry has to pray because we are, Jesus said what? My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. So when he declared that, he didn't gather a group of intercessors. No, they are, wah, shamba, ba, 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 whatever. Say, okay, you are a house of prayer. No, he's declaring to the redeemed, every people of God. So that's the first one. Second, got it? Second, house of prayer is not just, this is true, but again, all these are true, but it's not the totality, okay? House of prayer is not an emphasis of God before the return of Jesus. Yes, prayer will become more and more important, more and more relevant. I'm going to end by talking about this because at the end of the day, we are seeing escalating global crisis. There's only one answer. At the place of prayer, there will be no other answer. The sooner we discover it, is better. I suspect we way past the so-called inverted comma rehearsal stage. we are into, in very comma, war now. We way past that. This is not just some, you know, heightened, well, before Jesus come back and so on. No, it's going to be more important, more focused, more prominent. Yes, God is raising up unprecedented prayer movement at the end of the age. It's much more. It's going to continue because it's going to be our eternal identity. It's going to continue through the millennium kingdom, through eternity. Prayer will not become obsolete. Prayer will be enhanced. Okay. It will be enhanced. It's going to be a house of prayer 2.0. You'll be enhanced, you'll be more urgent, you'll be more powerful, the quality, the power, the impact will increase. Then when we go to the millennium kingdom, it's going to go to another notch. Right now, the person that is leading global prayer movement is the Holy Spirit. Spirit and the bride say, come. Romans 8 talk about, we do not know how to pray. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray. The prayer movement will crescendo just before Jesus come back. Mature in this age with quality, power, and impact. But when Jesus come back, guess who is going to lead the prayer movement in the millennium kingdom? The chief intercessor who sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding day and night, night and day. Then Luke 11 verse 1 going to be reenacted. You know, we pray, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Now the Holy Spirit, Jesus answering and saying, Holy Spirit, will you help me? But when Jesus come back, he's going to teach us how to pray. Because if you read Isaiah chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 4, nations will go to Jerusalem to learn from Jesus in all things. I'm sure one of the things that he's going to teach us is prayer. And he's going to teach us how to do revival meeting. Come, Holy Spirit. Boom! Something happened. No, I mean, that's my own story. But who cares? Okay. So house of prayer is not just an emphasis of God before the return of Jesus, with all the global crisis and so on. Then after that, oh, thank God, it's all over. Good news or bad news? We will continue to pray. You know, some of us have this idea that prayer will cease when Jesus returned. Then we say, that's why there's no more tears. You know, no, that's not what it means. Okay. Prayer will continue. Prayer will be enhanced. Prayer will be even much more enjoyable because we're going to see him face to face. He's going to tell us, Jesus, can you tell me this scripture? I have no idea. Have you ever looked at some of the scriptures? I have no idea. Then I go for a conference, this guy teach. This seems like it. He's going to teach us. And then, oh man, now I know how to pray using this verse. Okay, take me to Revelation 22, verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. 1:22, verse 17. One powerful prophetic scripture. Just one verse. There are about 15 prophetic statements. But give us the clearest prophetic picture of the twofold identity of the church when Jesus returned. The bride and the house of prayer. Intimacy-based intercession. The verse said this, Spirit and the bride say, come. Twofold identity of the church, the bride. Intimacy. But also the house of prayer, because our primary, inverted comma, occupation before Jesus returned is going to be prayer. And we will continue because the word say and then come is the shortest prayer in the entire Bible. The word come is Maranatha. Maranatha. This is huge because Jesus will not return until the church is awakened to who she is, as the bride, and as the house of prayer. That's why now there's this huge movement that's going on around the world, until every nation sings. The church will pray. There'll be no church that will not pray. But more than that, until every nation loves. The bride will love him wholeheartedly. And as a result, we will step into our position as the house of prayer, agreeing with his heart, until every nation sings, until every nation loves. Okay, I have no time to run through this. Write down, just write it down. Isaiah 42, verse 10 and 13. Talks about in every island, Isaiah 42, verse 10 to 13, Isaiah is one of the guys that prophesied the most about prayer movement at the end of the age. So this is one of them. Huge. He prophesied seven sphere over geographic earth where there will be prayers that is rising up until every nation sings, until every nation love. Hear me. Jesus will not allow his people to enter into the age to come without clarity and certainty of who she is as the bride, as the house of prayer. The Lord will not come back for anything less. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Third one, misconception. Misconception. Ministry like us, house of prayer. You can call it house of prayer, burning hearts, or whatever. Okay, yeah, I know. In Kansas City, it's the pancake. In Hong Kong, it's KFC. In Singapore, we only do one thing. Okay, so in Kansas City, we are joking. Yeah, no, Adi Ma runs an incubator. His ministry is called KFC. Kingdom Fellowship. See, I can't remember. Okay, so he joked though. In Kansas City, there's a pancake. In Hong Kong, there's KFC. In Singapore, you need to do one thing. Yeah. So thank God we didn't. Maybe we should like Old Chang Kee or whatever. No, I'm just joking. No, please don't. You know. Yeah. So we can joke. In Kansas City, there's this pancake. In Hong Kong, there's KFC. In Singapore, there's this curry pao. Yeah. No, I mean don't need. Yeah, okay. Okay, never mind. Let's come back. Let's be serious. Yeah, okay. Sometimes God has a sense of humor. It's true. I mean, think about pancake, KFC. We only do one thing. Yeah, I know. I endure all the shame for the joy that sat before me in the early years. Okay, never mind. Okay, let's be serious. Okay, the third misconception. Third one. Okay, ministry like, why am I talking about? Oh, yeah, okay. Ministry like us, okay, house of prayer, okay, is not the, not, hear me correctly, so that we don't get into this elitism or we think we are bigger or we try to kind of hoard the limelight. No, no. Ministry like us is not the house of prayer. We are not the, because the entire body of Christ is the house of prayer. The body of Christ in Singapore is the house of prayer. The whole church of Singapore, there are over 1,000 over congregation, is the house of prayer. We are only a house of prayer. That's why every time, you know, especially Global Bridegroom Fast, you'll hear me come here, humbly pray. God, as one of a house of prayer, in cities over nations, as we join many houses of prayer all over nations to pray, we are A, not D. Okay, never. Because the purpose is we are a catalyst. We hope that we inspire. We hope that we bring forth the emphasis of prayer. Okay, you can say provoke, or we are bugging people. Prayer, prayer. Intimacy-based prayer. Jesus is coming back, and so on. So it's important for us to know, because we are not the, we are a. Okay, we are not here to replace the identity and the function of the whole church, because we are part of the whole church. Yes, I'm pretty confident. 10 years, 15 years from now, prayer will be the center of church all over nations. Prayer will be, I don't know, maybe 10 years, 15 years from now, we will begin to say we are the house of prayer. Not just church this, church that. Because if it's God's heart, he will see to it. Isaiah 56 verse 7 says what? Even them I will bring. So don't resist. don't understand, just say, God, can you help me? So that we can be in alignment with God. So I say, when people look at us from outside, we are a house of prayer. We look at ourselves, we are mission-based. That's why we get involved with like Geylang Ministry and so on, or whatever, Feed the Poor and so on. Because we don't stop at prayer. Prayer is only the beginning. Prayer is to initiate. Prayer is to partner. Okay. So when people look at us from outside, we are the house, we are a house of prayer. We look at ourselves, we are mission-based. And God look at us, we are part of the church. Okay, so okay, finally. I'm going to give you two centrality of prayer. It's vital. That's why house of prayer. Two centrality of prayer in everything that God does. Okay, two centrality. One is how God operates. He's always operate through prayer. Two is how God releases his plan through human history. Not just human history, even through eternity. It's vital. From that name, we can understand why prayer. Why? House of prayer. I defined for you what prayer is about last week. This is not just coming here and just say something. You are engaging the heart of God. You are partnering with him. Okay, the first one. Okay, first one with many sub-points. Okay, so how God operates. Prayer is the center. That's why I call it the centrality of prayer. How God operates before creation, through time, through eternity. That's how God is going to operate. The first one. Okay, I'm going to briefly run through because most of it I've done pretty extensive teaching on it. First one. The governmental center of God is the prayer room. Amazing, isn't it? Seem foolish. That's why proud people don't pray. Only foolish, weak people pray. Seems foolish. Talking to no one. No, you're talking to someone that you don't see. Yeah. The governmental center of God's kingdom is a prayer room. Revelation 4 and 5. It's amazing. It is so simple. Yet it's so powerful. Have you thought about it? Just open up your mouth and speak to someone that you don't see, even though he's alive. Something changed. Wow. Wow. But it's huge. I wouldn't say it's effortless, but it doesn't cost you anything. No, it costs you time. Wow. Okay, first one. God govern his kingdom through prayer. The governmental center of God's kingdom is prayer room. Second, again, I say this before. This is another mystery. Creation is the result of intercession. Intercession is always about agreement and speaking. You have to say it. It's like James 4:2 says what? You do not have because you did not ask. Isaiah 30, last week I talked about it. Isaiah 30 verse 18. God will wait. So we do change a song, not we wait for you, but the other way around, God, you're waiting for us. We are asking, we are asking. You have to ask, okay? Creation is the result of intercession. How does it happen? Genesis 1, God created heaven and earth, light, isn't it? That's it. How it works is this. It's a partnership between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father has a heart, a plan, a desire, a will. He wants to have light. Who speak to it, to reality? Jesus. No, these are some verses. Just write it down if you want to. Talks about Jesus was at the, inverted comma, Genesis 1, partnering with the Father in creation. Psalms 33, verse 6. Just write this down. Psalms 33, verse 6. John 1, just read the entire John 1. I tell you, it's beautiful, John 1. Okay, I call it the beauty of the Word. Yeah, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Without Him, nothing was created. He was there at the creation. What did He do? The Father has a desire. He wants to have light. So what did Jesus do? Let there be light. Then what happened? Holy Spirit began to move. Boom! There is light. So this is not this Big Bang thing. Even Big Bang, someone has to say it. If no one say it, no bang. So I don't have a problem with this Big Bang thing, but someone has to say it. So God has the will, the Father. Jesus, yes, let there be light. Then what happened? Holy Spirit said, yes, boom, he bang. Something happened. Okay, of course, no. I mean, okay, so creation is the result of prayer. Wow. Prayer is always the center of all things that God does. Okay, third one. This is amazing. He continued to govern by intercession. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Okay. He prays without ceasing. Night. Where do you think the concepts of night and day prayer come from? Jesus. We want to be by Jesus, isn't it? Night and day, day and night. Okay. So this third one. Okay. He continued to, Jesus governed by intercession. But more than that, he uphold the universe. No, later I come to it. There's the next one. Fourth one. Jesus will forever rule nations by intercession through eternity. Just write this now. Psalms 110, verse 4. He's going to rule by the order of Melchizedek. Remember I said quite a couple of years ago, Jesus doesn't just reign as king. He's going to rule as prince. It's through intercession. He's going to rule by the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek is referring to ruling through intercession, ruling through his high priestly ministry of intercession. Wow. If Jesus has to pray in eternity, I'm sure we have to pray. We are partnering with him. Okay, so these are four centrality of how God operates. The second centrality of prayer. Okay, prayer is the center of God's plan. No, prayer is the center of how God releases his plan through humanness. It's consistent from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's consistent. The first one. Okay, I show it to you before. The garden of, garden of Genesis? No. The garden of Eden is actually a prayer sanctuary. Okay, human history began with a prayer meeting in the garden. Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Men walked with God in the cool of the garden. I'm sure they talk. I'm sure they interact. And in Genesis 2, I think this is cool, man. God asked men to name animals. Wow. So, I mean, Adam must be pretty smart. Hippopotamus. I can't even spell that. Yeah. Okay. So that's talking. Is it? So it's like God asking, Adam, so this what? Who do you name this? Hippopotamus. Maybe God say, kind of long, isn't it? Okay, hippo. Okay, never mind. Yeah, and then wait till you read the scientific name of hippopotamus. Well, ask Annabelle. Wow, is she ready? Okay, so human history began with prayer meeting. I mean, that's kind of cool. I mean, there are how many kind of species? I mean, don't even include insect. Millions, yeah, man. I mean, this guy not just can name. I mean, to name is one thing. Name really, then remember is another thing. So after naming all the animal, come back. What is that animal? The fat one. Open the mouth. Oh, hippo. Okay. Yeah, never mind. So first one, human history began with a prayer meeting. Second, no, I tell you consistently, there are three major birthing in the Bible. Birthing of the nation of Israel, birthing of the church, birthing of the kingdom. There's one common denominator. You know what's a common denominator? Prayer. Prayer. Second, nation of Israel was birthed through prayers. Just write this down. Exodus 2. Read the entire Exodus 2 and Exodus 3. Remember God, or rather Moses encountered God through the burning bush. What did God say? I have heard the cry of my people. I'm coming down. I'm bringing them out. I've heard the cry. Third one. The first thing Israel did, what did they do? prayer meeting. He went to Mount Sinai. It's like a powerful picture. Old Testament of the upper room. Fire came down. Prayer. That's where God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to God. But isn't something huge? Just again, read the entire Exodus 19. That's where the first time God revealed the identity of Israel. Israel is a nation of priests. Priests. The nation of Israel began with prayer. What is the first building project of the nation of Israel? Tabernacle of Moses. Consistent. Tabernacle of Moses. Fifth one. What is the first thing that David did when he captured Jerusalem? He built the Tabernacle of David. No, he didn't do it simply because he's a worship guy. He liked music. So he pumped millions of dollars. No, not like some of this dictator, bad president and so on. They have a lot of money to squander. They build a palace for themselves. No, David poured in about 100 billion to build that tabernacle of David because he understands that is the identity. Prayers. And sixth one, because of that, again, consistently. Okay, I put it down in notes so because there are so many verses. David command his subsequent kings from Solomon onwards always have to establish the altar of God. He called it the heavenly order of worship. Not because he's a worship guy, no. It's because it's the heart of God. That's why every time Israel come back, Zerubbabel, what's the first thing that they did? They built the prayer altar. Consistent. Now come to New Testament. New Testament. How did Jesus begin his public ministry? He prayed at the wilderness. That's why I tried that, you know, because before I came back to Kansas City, which I kind of like scrambled through the finishing line, you know. Before I came back to Kansas City, before I came back to Singapore from Kansas City, you know, because the Lord spoke so clearly at the house of Israel, so I told the Lord, I'm going to fast 40 days because Jesus started his ministry fasting 40 days. You know. Then I still knew into this prayer, fasting and so on. So after 1 week, I was so hungry, so I ate. Then I told the Lord, well, you know, I try to do it. No, that's why maybe God has a better idea. So I developed this. You know what I did? I spread out the 40 days. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I fast. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I fast. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, until I accumulated 40 days. And just nice. The last week, I'm coming home. And that's where I developed, you know, that lifestyle of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I fast because I cheated even comma. I'm just joking. Well, I think God liked my weakness, but I'm sincere. But at least I still do it. Okay, never mind. Jesus began his public ministry by praying in the wilderness. Okay. It's the same with John the Baptist. Where did he come up from? Wilderness. What do you think? Complaining? Nah, God, there's no food. All I had is locusts, no honey. No, he was praying. Asking God for the word, okay. Jesus ended his earthly ministry by praying. Where? Garden of Gethsemane. Praying is always the center. The church was birthed through prayer. Acts 1, what did they do? They gathered together and pray, including women. I love it. They including women and children too, I'm sure. The church was birthed through prayer. Next one. Prayer is the highest priorities for leaders in the New Testament church. Read Book of Acts. It's amazing. Book of Acts has 28 chapters. There are two things consistently mentioned in every chapter of Book of Acts. There are two things. Not Paul. There are two things. Holy Spirit, prayer. Holy Spirit, prayer. Prayer is the highest priority. That's why when you read Acts 2, they continually do four things. Devoted to apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer continually. You know, people argue, say, yeah, but Book of Acts has never talks about 24/7 prayer. So where do we come up with this theology of 24/7 prayer for New Testament church? I love the way that Dan Juster exegetes and fight the argument and say that. That's where Gentile believers don't understand. Because the first church is primarily what? Jewish. They don't even need to write because in the Jewish mindset, it's irrelevant to even argue that you need a 24/7 prayers. So when you read the book of Acts, you begin to understand. At certain hour, Peter get up, go to where? Go somewhere to pray, isn't it? There must be a place where 24/7 prayer is continuous. Non-issue. This is where we Gentile, we don't understand, we're still debating, argue. Talk to some Jews, like Dan Juster. I love the way that he exegetes it. No, he said, no offense. You know, we Jew, it's not even an issue. Continue. There's a book of Acts, don't even need to mention, because Gentiles only get into the church around chapter 6 or 7 onwards, Antioch. That's where for the first time we are called Christians. Yeah, it's non-issue. Doesn't even need to debate. That's the key thing. My highest priorities. Remember Acts 6, the church were growing. They had many things to do. So the apostle choose 7 men. And then, they not that they are lazy. You know, you are very lazy. Man. Ministry grow, then let other people do. No, they devote their time in prayer and in studying of the word so that they can teach. That's the key thing. Prayer is the highest priorities. Next one. Holy Spirit is raising up the greatest worship and prayer movement at the end of the age. The most prophesied move of God before Jesus returned is not signs and wonders. It's prayer movement. There are at least 40 prophetic scripture that talks about it. Yeah. Next one. I'm going to be quick. Next one. Human history will transit into the millennium age through the prayers of the saints. It's our prayer that we're going to move into the millennium kingdom. Matthew 6:10 says what? What did Jesus teach us to pray? May your kingdom come. May your will be done. It's literal. It's literal. We will pray so that we will transit from this age to the millennium age. That's where the kingdom of God will come. It's called the millennium kingdom. The millennium kingdom. I'm going to end. I'm going to just mention two things quickly. Okay. I don't think we fully understand what this means by house of prayer as our eternal identity. But it's okay. Because God will not relent. He's going to wrestle with us. Remember I talked about Isaiah 66 verse 1. God will not rest until we understand who we are as the house of prayer. There's going to be reenactment of Genesis 32 where God wrestled with Jacob. You know, the name Jacob is deceiver or supplanter. Supplanter means manipulate. You know, you can actually, if you understand, is if you are someone who constantly deceive, at the end of the day, you know who is the one that you deceive the most? Yourself. So Jacob deceived himself. You know, it's true. It's true. You deceive it after a while. Am I telling you true? I don't even know whether I'm telling true or false. So that's the key thing. Don't keep deceiving. So Jacob is a supplanter. The primary issue is that he see himself, he see things in his own interpretation. It's like God has to wrestle with Jacob. Of course, God allowed Jacob to win so that his name is changed from Jacob to become the Prince of Peace. But God right now, why he also raising up many house of prayer, is we are going to partner with God to wrestle with the church of Jesus Christ until we understand who we are as the house of prayer. We will pray. You know, it's no surprising. Isaiah 62 verse 6 and 7 says what? I will put watchmen on the wall, God say, right? Give me no rest. Day and night, night and day. What's the previous few verses? I will change your name. I will change your name. You are no longer you're no longer desolate and whatever. You'll be called Hephzibah. I like you. You'll be Beulah. I'm going to marry you. So he's talking about two identities, as the bride and as the house of prayer. I'm going to change your name. God is going to rest. He will not rest. You know why? So that eventually he will have a resting place. You know why the resting place? Not that God need, kind of like some big shot, he need a place to rest. He's always looking for a family who will agree, who will understand, who will be intimate with the Father, with His Son, as the bride, unto the bridegroom, that we agree and partner with Him based on intimacy and agreement. God will not rest. He will rest until. I'm pretty confident, because you know why? The Bible makes it very clear. Who will win? God will win. We just need to pray. Because He is going to rest. That is the key thing. Second is so vital. I know me and my wife, you know, we have been talking, observing. It's like, it's crazy. Over the last 2 months, almost every week there is the terrorist attack. Yesterday, just another one. You know, before that was what? Turkey airport. And before what? Malaysia also found. Before what? Whatever. Unending. We are at this. No, this is not. That's why I want to. Don't go and invite whoever. Come for the July 30th. I'm going to address some issue. It's going to keep escalating. It's not going to get better. There's only one answer at the place of prayer. Because that's God. He's causing the church to pray. We're way past so-called peacetime. We are way past. You know, people say, yeah, being negative. No, I'm not being negative. I'm being truthful. I'm trying to say, in very common, negative things so that we will have a positive response. We are way past. There's no turning back, really. It will not get better, but we can get stronger. We can burn brighter. It's at the place of prayer. No other way out. At the place of prayer. Last year, we talked about Psalms 2 crisis, isn't it? Right? Remember? Crisis is escalating. We are racing towards there. How did Jesus in Psalms 2 respond to a global crisis? How? He asked. He prayed. It's only one answer. Only one answer. Because at the end of the day, no, don't that's why you need to understand who God is. Because God wants us, no, to me I say, wow, you know, amazing. Destiny of the nation is in our hand. When we pray, God moves. That's why it's so vital for us to understand His heart. No, we are not just here, do a few prayer meetings, we are happy. No. What's the house of prayer? Simply means God speak, move my heart. When my heart move, I speak to Him, move His heart. When His heart move, He's going to respond. Move His hand. The greatest reward at the place of prayer is not answer prayer. I think answer prayer is important. The greatest reward at the place of prayer is my heart move. Wow. Intimacy, engaging, connecting. That's who we are as a house of prayer. That's why I thank God that earlier half this year, we talk about intimacy. Second half this year, we're going to talk about prayer. I'm excited about it. But the key is this, though. Pay serious attention. We're way past peacetime already. That's why the July 30th, to me, it's not about big cross, small cross. I am contending for something to happen. I'm not just interested for another state. No, I mean, if it happens, that's great. Just don't ask me organize, can't really. I'm not just contending for another stadium. No, if that's God's desire, no, there's something more. We have to pray, but we also have to turn. We have to turn and we have to pray. God is looking for something more. That's who we are. Isaiah 56, verse 7, say this, even them I will bring to my holy mountain, for I make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Wow, huge. What a profound declaration. My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations.